I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hi, and welcome back to the Dirtbag Baseball Talk Show here on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network, Dirtbag Nation. Great to have you back with us as always. Hopefully you had a dirty week, and as a player, parent, coach, wherever you are in the world, we thank you very much for being a part of the show and listening to us. And as always, Nolan and myself, we're excited about this show. Not as much activity, obviously, going on. Nothing to say as far as free agents go, other than speculation, stuff like that. But certainly awards over the last week, rookies of the year, managers of the year. During this show, we will update on the Cy Youngs going on in about 10 minutes or so, and we'll update you on that. So, but there's certainly stuff to talk about on all platforms for sure. So again, before we get going with the show, we do want to give our shout out to our friends and our team over at Rip Grip Pro. That's Tress Sullivan and his boys over at the Rip Grip Pro training hitting aid. Give them a check. There's no question about it. As we always say, fantastic tool, implements, gets you in the zone early, gets you through the zone long, on the outside, the middle, the inside. Great, great training tool. If you haven't got it already, check them out. Be sure to check them out. And of course, as always, our favorite throwing training aid, the Rope Trainer. You can go right to our website at dirtbagbaseballnation.com and find out more about that right there for you. It's a tool that can be used at all ages and should be used at all ages because it's fantastic for arm health, mechanics, creating extension on your throw, follow through. A lot of things that you know, you get trained and talked about, but it's hard to implement until you can really have a product like this helping you along the way. So again, fantastic prospect, and you can check it out at dirtbagbaseballnation.com to find out more about that. Or feel free to DM me on Instagram or Facebook at Kirk at Dirtbag Baseball Nation, or you know, contact me directly by email as well if you want to, Kirk at dirtbagbaseballnation.com. So definitely able to talk about that. Training philosophies, curtain call questions. That's what we're here to do for you as Dirtbags. Is it's all about developing you mentally, physically, emotionally as a baseball player, a parent, a coach. And as you know, we're going to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear necessarily. And that's the trust value. That's the importance of this game. And that's where you really start to excel and appreciate this game at all levels and every level. So that's what it's all about, Dirtbags. Again, thank you very much for being a part of the show, listening to us. Sit back, get your favorite drink, settle in, however you like to listen to us, wherever you like to listen to us, because we're going to be right back here, and we're going to get up, get after it, and get dirty.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice. So many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat. Grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Ancestry makes the perfect gift to give people because it literally blew my mind.
It's literally like you're giving them something that they would have no knowledge of.
Which is very important because for us to basically be able to find our missing family or to see my indigenous heritage confirmed inside there. It's one gift, but it's so many different things.
Show someone where they came from this holiday season with Ancestry DNA. Now on sale at Ancestry.com.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This year, Staples wants everyone to have a happy holla deal. That's right, holla deal. Staples holla deals are amazing savings on hot holiday tech. Great prices on laptops, game systems, earbuds, and more. And now at Staples, you can save up to $350 on select PCs. During Staples holla deals, it's not about the fa-la-la. It's about saving moolala. Save up to $350 on select PCs today at Staples. Ends 11/18 in-store only. See associate for details.
The federal ban on menthol cigarettes could have unintended consequences for Hispanic communities. Here's United States Hispanic Business Council President Javier Palomares.
You know, history has taught us that prohibitions just don't work. A federal ban on menthol cigarettes would hurt minority-owned small businesses. It would make communities of color more vulnerable to criminalization and bolster cartel pocketbooks. It's just simply bad policy, and it must be withdrawn.
Sponsored by the United States Hispanic Business Council.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Aw, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, where do you want to lead us off?
So, obviously, two more manager hires this week. You get Pat Murphy with the Milwaukee Brewers replacing Craig Counsell. Pat Murphy, obviously brought on by Craig Counsell, was his former manager at Notre Dame prior to becoming the bench coach with the Milwaukee Brewers, now takes over as the lead man there. And Joe Espada gets promoted from bench coach with Houston to becoming the head man there.
Yeah, definitely the Pat Murphy one and the connection with Craig Counsell. And, I mean, he's been there, five, 7 years now with Milwaukee, bench coach, in on every conversation, right? Tremendous college career at Notre Dame and then ASU, Arizona after Notre Dame before getting on with the Milwaukee Brewers. Just a great overall baseball mind. Good for him. Good for him to be able to make that jump. Good for Milwaukee to settle in. I know they put Ricky Weeks, former, number two overall draft pick in 2003, played, about 10 years, 9 years with the Milwaukee Brewers. Great little career for him. Very much like Stephen Vogt with Ricky Weeks. Not a lot of coaching experience after that. A couple of minor league stops with Milwaukee again. I think maybe they got him back on 2021, I think I saw. And so, you know, building a good bench, moving it forward after the Craig Counsell loss, I think it's a good hiring. I think it's creates that stability, creates that understanding that Pat Murphy will have of the organization as a whole. Ricky Weeks gets implemented onto the bench, gets some major league experience. Obviously, I have to perceive that they're looking at him for the long term, maybe replacing Pat Murphy at somewhere down the road, keeping that continuity within the system, right? And that's what we talk about. We talk about culture all the time and building a great foundation, a great family, a great culture. And I think that's what they're doing, looking at doing. I don't know. I mean, that's where I'm coming at it from. I might be wrong. I think it's a good hiring by Milwaukee.
And then I love this one, actually. Brian Cashman, right, calls out Giancarlo Stanton. And, I mean, he's not wrong in any way, shape, or form. And then for basically Giancarlo Stanton's agent to come back and say, well, to play in New York, you need to be made of Teflon. So Brian Cashman was asked earlier this week. He's like, we've got to get Stanton up and running again. He's injury prone. We all have lived and known that. But he's never not hit when he's playing. And this year is the first time that that's happened. So, I mean, obviously this past year had 24 home runs, but only hit 191 with the 275 on base and 420 slug in 101 games. I mean, like I said, there's no lies there. Like, Stanton in his New York career has only played one full season. Every year he's injured, and I mean, Cashman has said that. Like, hey, listen, we are fully aware that this guy is going to get injured. This is his MO. Everybody that follows baseball knows that Giancarlo Stanton, when healthy, can absolutely go on a roll and hit about 15 home runs in 3 days.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that carries the team, right, when he needs to. But again, it goes right back to, you know what? Sometimes honesty hurts, right? How is Cashman a bad guy for being honest? Everybody in the world knows what Stanton is. Like you said, probably top five hitters maybe in the league when he's healthy. I'm not talking about a player. I'm talking about as a hitter.
I wouldn't even go that far. Not necessarily hitter, but I'm just saying like, power hitter for sure.
Yeah.
Power hitter, absolutely. But just overall hitter, you can't put him in that top five category.
No.
But when he's on a hot streak.
For sure.
Like everybody saw it there a few years back when he was in the playoffs with the Yankees. And yeah. He had, what, 6 home runs in 4 games, 5 games, something like that. And I mean, that's the type of player that he is when he's healthy. But there's no lies detected in that statement by Brian Cashman. He knew what he was getting when he got Giancarlo Stanton at that time. And now he has to live with the repercussions of obviously, hey, listen, we're paying this guy, what is it, 20 plus million bucks a year. I don't know off the top of my head what his contract is, but that's his MO.
Nice thing on that, though, is Marlins and the Yankees, they backloaded that contract. So the Marlins are picking up a lot of that over the last 2 years of that contract. So that's nice. Or 3 years and stuff like that. So it's not as much of a detriment on the bank account for the Yankees right now. But at the end of the day, when did honesty be the wrong, be the negative, be the bad side of things? It can't. It just can't happen like that. And good for Cashman to do it. He didn't absolutely take his knees out. He just made an honest comment, and he also validated with saying when he's on the field, he's one of the best. You see why we traded for him. So for me, awesome. This early in the offseason, I know I've been looking at it, I've been reading and stuff like that, and hearing comments, oh well, other the same agent for Stanton has Yamamoto, I think, and stuff like that. So they're trying to, oh, well, maybe he won't come to the Yankees yet. You don't know if he's coming to the Yankees or not. Yes, the Yankees can roll up the truck and pay him whatever he needs to be, but there's other teams out there that can do that as well. So the bottom line for me is good for Cashman. They asked him a question. He point blank replied with an honest answer. Sure, if the agent wants to come back with that or whatever and that, tit for tat, hey, go for it if you want to. At the end of the day, you got to suck it up.
So jumping over, sticking with kind of upper management and everything like that, we got the owner's vote tomorrow for the potential Las Vegas Athletics, whether the Oakland Athletics will be moving or not. I don't know. I think that that's going to be an interesting vote. Obviously, everybody's going to be keeping their eyes on that one to see what the possible relocation is. I mean, if like the good thing is they're doing it early in free agency, right? So if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at it, depending on what the timeline is, let's say 2026. The Oakland Athletics are moving over to Las Vegas. I'm entertaining a 5 or 6 year deal with the Oakland Athletics, knowing, hey, listen, I'm going to be stuck in Oakland for the next 2 years, but then my years 3, 4 plus whatever, however long my contract is with them, I'm playing in Las Vegas where I'll get a fan base, where I'll be in a brand new stadium, where I'll be in a good atmosphere. Where, I mean, Oakland, and I'm not disrespecting Oakland. I'm not saying that Oakland doesn't have a great atmosphere, because Oakland, everybody's seen it. When Oakland is a playoff caliber team, a la the late 2010s decade, 2018, 2019, 2020, and stuff like that, man, that was a great atmosphere. The fans were showing up because the team was relevant. Now the team's not relevant, so the fans don't show up.
What I find interesting about that, first off, I think they'll vote it in. I think it's been waited long enough. There's been enough turmoil over the whole situation. Sure, there's things that the Oakland Athletics could have done better within Oakland. There's things that Oakland could have done better. That's what the same with every pro sport, every major city that hosts a professional team. They go through that once every whatever, 20 years, whatever it is, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, I think it'll get voted in. But what I also, on the back end of that, I find it interesting that the winter meetings this year for Major League Baseball are held in Nashville. going to be held in Nashville this year in the early part of December. To me, that just stuck out because I know Nashville's always been on the backside, back burner of a potential expansion team if they ever go down that road, or a relocation team.
Hey, we talked about it last year about Nashville possibly being, because obviously last year prior to Tampa Bay finalizing their contract and everything like that, we thought that that was a speculative place for Tampa Bay to come up and go to. Because Nashville, I mean, Nashville is where a lot of the players, they do their training and everything like that in the off season. They do a lot of their, like, vacationing and that type of stuff, right? I know quite a few players have homes there, whether it be not necessarily even in the MLB, just across all the major professional sports. And I know Nashville obviously is a hotbed for I'd say, a fan base, just because, I mean, they're the Las Vegas of the East.
Well, and don't forget, you got Vanderbilt down there and stuff like that, and you got a good baseball community, well, right?
Tennessee's hot right now, man. So, I mean, that's the thing. You get between Vanderbilt and Tennessee, obviously fans are going to show up. Like we said, Nashville's a popular destination.
Absolutely.
Especially for us people that are on the East Coast, man. We'd go down and watch a game, absolutely.
For sure. I mean, the Sounds have been a great team for years. You know what? They've proven that they can facilitate and maintain and hold ground at the AAA level. Hey, you've got to be exploring it. So that'll be an interesting vote. I think it goes through. I think it gets accepted. But on the other side of that, if it doesn't for some reason, it was just interesting with Nashville. Now, I realize Oakland's not going to relocate to the East because that'll tip all the balance of the divisions. I get that. But at the end of the day, there's a couple of interesting things that are going to play out over the next 24 hours for me. So, Dirtbags, we'll be right back, and we'll just keep getting after it.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, where do you want to go now?
Yeah, let's jump in with the awards that have happened so far. So as of the time of the recording right now, we're doing it during the actual Cy Young Award nominations. So we probably won't be able to announce those as they're going on. But right now we have the managers of the year and we have the rookies of the year. Obviously, rookies of the year, you got Gunnar Henderson and Corbin Carroll winning unanimously. Not too much debate on that. I mean, right down the stretch, like, let's be honest, Corbin Carroll, he had that one in May. It was like Paul Goldschmidt last year with the MVP for the National League. Like, there wasn't a debate. Everybody knew that Corbin Carroll was going to win. AL was a lot more wide open until Gunnar Henderson really cemented himself as that Rookie of the Year. Probably early August, I'd say, is kind of when he took over. Obviously, Tristan Casas had a fantastic second half of the year. You're looking at it, obviously, Kodai Senga. Hey, I mean, I got to give Kodai Senga a lot of credit. He had a fantastic year, too. I think the thing that bites Kodai Senga in the butt is the fact that he came over as, what, a 29-year-old? Close to 30. Like, he already had professional experience, right? So, I mean, there is some bias. I will say that. There is some bias in that because Corbin Carroll's only 21 years old, 22 years old. Like, young kid, man. And it was his first professional MLB season, and he just lit it up.
Yeah. I mean, he deserved it. When you're talking about back in May, early part of June, he was still in the Rookie of the Year MVP in the NL. He was in that conversation. So, you know, that's a no-brainer. You're right. I give kudos to Senga for what he was able to withstand as a person coming from Japan to the Mets, the big city of New York, being on the team that was right there preseason, being in the NL East title with the Braves. And then you go through the type of year that they went through, losing Verlander, losing Scherzer at the trade deadline, really not being able to pitch a whole lot before that. Verlander got rolling. That's why he did get traded. I get that. But I give him a lot of credit for sure, Senga,
They had to eat contract on both of those trades, though, too. And like Kodai Senga, so that's why I'm saying there's bias in the fact that most rookies, they come up and they have an innings limitation.
Yeah.
Kodai Senga came into the MLB. There wasn't an innings limitation with him. It was, hey, listen here, big fella. Let's signed you for a reason. And what was it, 17 and a half over 5 years? Like, it was, I think it was 5 year, 85, if I'm not mistaken. So $18.5 million. And you're just sitting there and you're like, yeah, absolutely. And what he was one of, I think, seven rookies to have 200 plus strikeouts in his rookie season. I believe that was the stat that I saw there the other day. I mean, like I said, hey, he had a fantastic year, but when you're going up against Corbin Carroll, who was the first rookie to have 25-50, there's not too much debate in that situation.
No, and just shy of what, 280? I think 270-80 finished with. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. It was really nice being on the East Coast. We talked about it, to be able to really see that guy night after night after night play and perform and do what he does. And kid's electric. Kid's exciting, whether it's from home plate to wherever he ends up finishing his running, at first base being able to score on a hit, everything, steal whenever he wants to. The future is super bright for that kid, for sure.
Well, you're looking at it, man. Think about how smart Arizona's upper management was for locking up him to an 8-year, $111 million prior to the year.
Yeah, for sure. It reminds me a lot of the Cleveland Indians or Guardians era back in the 90s and stuff like that. That was a very intelligent move. Both parties, you know, benefit from it. What is it? He ends up losing, what, 1 or 2 years on the back end or whatever after arbitration would have come in and all those types of stuff. But it's a good deal both ways. Right now, obviously, it looks a ton better for the Arizona Diamondbacks than him. But at the end of the day, you're a multi-millionaire.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? Corbin Carroll this year would have been making, what, $540,000 or whatever the league minimum was?
Yeah, I think it's up over six and stuff like that right now.
Yeah, whatever the new league minimum is that's what Corbin Carroll would have been making on his current contract. So, I mean, hey, it's a no-brainer for him. It's a no-brainer for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Kirk was showing his age there. I would have gone with the Ronald Acuna comparison.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's obviously where your mind jumps to for my generation. It's like, hey, listen, Ronald Acuna, they just jumped on this guy after his debut, and he was, what, I think a 7-year, $100 million deal or something to that extent. And you're like, man, like, hey, this guy's, he's going to earn it. But jumping over to Gunnar Henderson now, obviously, I don't think there was too much debate after about August 1st that Gunnar Henderson was going to win that AL Rookie of the Year. the numbers that he posted, man, I mean, he had a fantastic year, especially for the shortstop and third base position that he's playing now. I mean, realistically, going forward, I think ultimately he'll be the third baseman of the future for this for the Baltimore Orioles. Just because, I mean, it sounds like Jackson Holliday's coming up.
Yeah.
And he's going to be the opening day shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles. And I don't see any possibility where he's not the opening day shortstop. Unless, like, the only way that he won't be the opening day shortstop is if he just completely bombs in spring training. And I can't see that happening. Just based off of the year that he had this year, he jumped up four levels. And, I mean, he tore it up at every single level he was.
Well, absolutely, right? Gunnar Henderson playing two demanding positions on the left side of the infield, batting in the top three for a lot of that season with the Baltimore Orioles, just doing what he does. Obviously, Adley Rutschman had a beautiful second season as well. That team, man, if you're Orioles fans, you've got to be excited about it. And I know we'll talk about it more in the curtain call questions and stuff like that about Baltimore, but like you just said, you got Jackson Holliday coming down the pipe. They've got those other studs there and stuff like that. You know, Grayson Rodriguez, once he went back down and got it kind of figured out after getting his little taste early on the starting rotation side, he finished the season strong as a rookie. That's just, wow. What an exciting time to be, or should be an exciting time to be a Baltimore Orioles fan, because hopefully the Angelos and the Baltimore got, it sounds like, the most of that situation with Camden Yards taken care of, the community, the business. Now it's time to just get right back down to baseball and be excited. And hopefully, again, like I said, we'll talk more about the Baltimore Orioles in the next segment. But, you know, hopefully management goes out and gets some of these higher-end quality starting pitchers to facilitate that. But congratulations, Gunnar Henderson. Congratulations, Corbin Burns. Well-deserved.
Then jumping over to the managers of the year, obviously, yeah, I mean, Kirk said that we're going to talk about them in the next segment, but obviously we got to talk about them still because you got Brandon Hyde for the AL manager of the year. I don't think that there was really too much debate in that one. Obviously, best record in the AL, outperformed everybody's expectations. We came into the year, now, like I'm saying, me and Kirk here, our expectation for him was 85-plus wins. Obviously, yeah. They set the bar there last year. And that was kind of the expectation. Hey, listen, like last year, obviously, in my opinion, was a fluke. They had no business winning 85 games. This year, I mean, 90 was realistic. 101 was way above everybody's expectations. No one had them winning the AL East. If anybody sits there and tries to tell you that they're going to win the AL East coming into the year, they're flat out lying.
First time the Baltimore Orioles have been over 100 wins since 1980. So, I mean, it just goes to show you right there. They just got on a roll. Kept going. Their pitchers got more maturity, more development. Their players got more maturity, more development. And like we said, they're still the number one organization for minor league players and development system in the major leagues. Like Brandon Hyde, congratulations on the fact that you had to go through three seasons of tough work before you got to that echelon. Was it disappointing to get swept by the Rangers? Absolutely. There's no question about it. But again, like they always say about playoffs, when you're a young team, right, they've got the experience now.
No, exactly.
They realize 162, wow, that's how tough it is to play 162 games in a season. We need a lot of healthy players. We need strong players. We need mentally developed players, physically capable players. But okay, the playoffs, I get it. Now it's a different beast. But they're prepared for it now.
Yeah, Kirk's got the Toronto Blue Jays mindset of, hey, let's just get into the playoffs and be content with it. I mean, they're coming off 100 wins. I get what you're saying. Absolutely. Yeah, they're a young team and everything like that. But you can bet, man, they were disappointed in the fact that they were out right away. Like, they knew that they had home field advantage coming in. And yes, it's a young team. But at the same time, man, that was a good freaking team. And they had a good chance at least getting to the ALCS with the way that they posted up numbers in the regular season and everything like that. I mean, end of the day, to me, it's a disappointment for the Baltimore Orioles. I get your point where, yes, now they're getting into the playoffs. They're getting that maturity and everything like that. But still, man, when you're the number one team in your respective league, you gotta at least make a pass the divisional round. But jumping over to the NL side, you get Skip Schumacher becoming the, I believe it was, eighth manager of the year to win it in his first year.
Yep.
Second one with the Miami Marlins to win in his first year following Joe Girardi back in 2006. Fourth manager of the year with the Miami Marlins behind Donnie Baseball, Jack McEwen, and obviously Joe Girardi. But I mean, yeah, that one was a lot tighter of a race. Obviously, Snitker had a good case, obviously, with the Atlanta Braves having the best record in all of baseball. And then Craig Counsell finishing second place for his fourth time. Tough one for Counsell. But I mean, Skip Schumacher, to me, I thought that he was going to be the manager of the year just because of the Miami Marlins. Let's be honest, everybody thought that they might win 70 games at most this year. Going to come in at fourth or fifth in the National League East. Way, way, way above expectations winning. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was only 84 games, but no one had them as a playoff team, and he took them there.
I don't want to get Nolan going, Dirtbag Nation, but Miami making the right decision, St. Louis Cardinals making the wrong decision on their managerial hiring last season. So, you know, enough said on that. Skip Schumacher, I mean, he gave a huge shout-out to Tony La Russa and coming through him as a player, learning what it was, the expectations that he set, but the communication, the level of trust that was built, everything, and he just carried it out there. He you know what, put a coaching staff together that complimented him, complimented what he believed in, the culture he wanted to build. They got it done at the end of the day, for sure. And it's a tough division. Let's be honest, man. It's going to be tough to come back next year and do it all over again. They're capable of it, but they got a lot of work to do, but he's got the right man in the right room. So congratulations to them both. Dirtbags, we'll be right back here in a second.
This year, Staples will not be celebrating the holidays. Instead, we're celebrating the holiday deals with amazing savings for the holiday season. Save 50% on custom holiday cards, save 50% on custom invitations, and save 50% on custom photo gifts like mugs and calendars. During Staples holiday deals, it's not about the ho-ho-ho, it's about saving do-do-do. Save 50% on custom cards, invitations, and photo gifts today at Staples. Ends 12/16. Visit staples.com/print for more details.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with four-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Ah, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walgreens and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Yo, J Balvin here. Verizon just hooked me up with a new iPhone 15 Pro with titanium. How can you get one? By switching to my plan at the Verizon store, get the amazing new iPhone 15 Pro on them. When you trade in any iPhone, any model, any condition, guaranteed. And listen to my new song, Dientes, on your way to get the new iPhone 15 Pro.
Don't miss out. Switch to my plan from Verizon today. It's your Verizon. $999.99, 128GB only. Device payment purchase or full retail purchase with new smartphone line on unlimited ultimate plan required. Less $1,000 trade-in or promo credit applied over 36 months. Promo credit ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. 0% APR.
Coca-Cola is making everyday game day at Burger King. For a limited time, get a $30 Coke Zero Sugar Bundle on the Burger King app. The Coke Zero Sugar Bundle lets you enjoy two Whopper sandwiches, two original chicken sandwiches, 16-piece chicken nuggets, two small fries, and two small fountain drinks. Whether you're tailgating or big screening, have it your way with a bundle big enough to feed the whole family. The Coke Zero Sugar Bundle is your ticket to memorable game day fun. It's a winning play. So go to your local Burger King restaurant and satisfy your hunger for the big game. The $30 Coke Zero Sugar Bundle is available now through November 30th at participating Burger King restaurants. And while you're in the BK app, test your skills and play Sip, Throw, and Score to get cool Burger King perks every day. See offer terms at bk.com/terms. Sponsored by Coca-Cola.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Time for the curtain call questions. So we talked about it in the last segment. Nolan, let's go ahead and start right there. Baltimore fans sending in questions all over the board. You know, what's our speculation? Obviously, they're positionally, they're well established. Are they going to go out and be able to get a hold of two pitchers? Do they need two pitchers?
So I'm going to be honest with you. They're the best suited team, in my opinion, to acquire Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease has been made available. If I'm the Baltimore Orioles, knowing that I have Dylan Cease for two more years of arbitration, that's a move that I'm looking to make. Now, I don't know what the ask is going to be if I'm the Chicago White Sox. Obviously, it's going to be guys that are close to Major League ready, which the Baltimore Orioles have. Whether they package Heston Kjerstad or Colin Cowser?
Yep.
Two guys that had a little bit of Major League experience this year. One of them, I could see them very easily going over there. Like you said, man, they got a plethora of prospects available. Now, I can't see the Chicago White Sox looking for guys that are already in the Major League level. I can see them looking for guys that are close to the Major League level, knowing that, hey, we're going to get 6+ years out of them. So that's why I'm saying, like, realistically, if I'm the Baltimore Orioles, I got to target either him or I got to go over to Seattle, depending on what Seattle wants for one of their pitchers, whether it be Bryce Miller or, I mean, Logan Gilbert. I as much as I want Logan Gilbert to be traded, I can't see the Seattle Mariners actually trading him. Dylan Cease, to me, is the number one guy. Or Corbin Burnes. Corbin Burnes doesn't make sense to Baltimore Orioles just because Corbin Burnes only has a year left before he's a free agent. So that's why I'm saying Dylan Cease, at least you get 2 years with him. You know your window's open if you're Baltimore, man. That's a trade that I'm trying to make. And obviously, I'm trying to back up the truck on one of those free agent starters. And if I'm one of those free agent starters, I'm looking at it. Hey, I got Adley Rutschman that I can pitch to. Now, I don't know if Aaron Nola would go there. Obviously, he's got comfortability on the East Coast. And I mean, Baltimore logistically is close to Philadelphia. So it's not like it's that far of a move. Sonny Gray, I could see him going there. But same thing, he's a little long in the tooth. So I don't know if he'd be willing to go there with a lot of the youthful players that they have in Baltimore. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, but they could very easily back up the truck on a guy and proceed to trade for one of those frontline guys that are available for trade with years of control.
So you're saying a free agent signing and a trade is what you're really looking at if you're the Baltimore Orioles, not a double free agent,
just because Baltimore doesn't really operate under those standards of, hey, listen, we're going to spend $70+ million of free agency money in a year. Like, that's the way that I look at it. They'll do a 1-1.
And I don't really think they need to in that. That staff's not too bad and stuff like that. They don't jump off the sheets with you, you know, as some of those top rotations in baseball, but they're a real, real solid rotation. So I can see what you're saying there. What about on the back end and the relief to cover off Batista for the next year?
Yeah, I mean, if Josh Hader is a possibility, everybody's got to be in on Josh Hader. I just can't see him being that type of guy. Now, I get that he's local in the fact that I think he grew up in either Maryland I think he actually grew up in Maryland. So, I mean, obviously he's got that for his backyard as a possibility, but I just can't see him going to Baltimore just because I think he'll be looking for a longer-term contract, and I just can't see Baltimore handing out that type of money if they're going to go after two starting pitchers or whatever they end up doing this offseason. So that being said, I could see a Craig Kimbrel sliding in there for a one-year filler type of deal to be a back-end guy. Now, I get that Craig Kimbrel wasn't Craig Kimbrel of old, but at least he's got that closer experience, and he can slide in as an eighth inning guy if they want to move one of their other guys into the closer role.
Yeah, that's not a bad thought. Imagine having Hader and Batista in 2 years in the back end of that. Holy cow. But as we've seen before, that doesn't always work out well. I mean, when you're a closer, you want to be the closer. So, but interesting thoughts for sure. So great question. Thanks for sending it in. Going over to Cleveland now, Nolan. Interesting habit this week. We were just talking about during the World Series and how amazed we were that Arizona didn't have enough. You're in the World Series and you didn't have enough in your starting rotation of feeling that you were qualified starters to roll out there in what games? Four and five almost. And so there you go. So Cleveland Guardians designate Cal Quantrill for assignment. Obviously, he had a bad year. And you look at that rotation, and they're still probably left with five, and they've got to be up there in the top five in baseball. And now, again, we've known for a long time that Cleveland is a pitching development. They just seem to keep doing it. But what were your thoughts on that? Do you think they're able to pull a trade for Cal Quantrill? They haven't got it yet.
Well, he got designated for assignment, right? So he's got to clear waivers and everything like that. If he clears waivers, then obviously Arizona's free to talk to him. I could realistically see Arizona. Now, that being said, I think Arizona has to address the third base situation first. If I'm Arizona, obviously I'm expecting Jordan Lawler to be their starting shortstop opening day, which would therefore push either Herldomo Perdomo over to third base or somebody of that extent. If I'm them, I'm looking at a Justin Turner. Arizona, Justin Turner makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially last year, you saw it. They went out, they got Evan Longoria, veteran guy, obviously tons of playoff experience. Justin Turner, I mean, he still drove in 90-plus RBIs this year. Tons of power from the right side. He's a guy that makes sense if he's willing to go back over to that type of team and try and help them out. Obviously, Arizona, I mean, the window's open right now for them to be in contention. They just made it to the World Series. Obviously, they need to do some with the starting pitching staff. If they can't get a Cal Quantrill on a lighter deal, let's say around $2 million, $3 million, I think this year is projected to be right around about $6.5 million or something like that. He won't have to go through the arbitration process, obviously, if he's been DFA'd. It'll be interesting to see what they kind of do to address the back end of that rotation. Obviously, when you got a guy like Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen leading that staff and Brandon Fatt, obviously, with the way that he pitched in the playoffs there and during the stretch run, that's a solid 1-2-3. It's not a front line, hey, listen, these are three ace-type pitchers like we've seen some teams. But, I mean, Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, the pair of them, they both showed up this year. Brandon Fatt, like I said, down the stretch, he showed up. They need to do something to address that 4-5 spot.
And this hot off the press, Dirtbag Nation, Blake Snell winning the National League Cy Young Award. What does that do to the contract, if anything, Nolan?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's one of a very select few to have won Cy Youngs in both leagues. Realistically, that dude earned himself about $100 million. With the way that he started out the year, his first, what, dozen starts or so, 10 starts at least, his ERA was almost 5. Then over his last 23 starts, he goes Bob Gibson-esque with a 1.2 ERA. Leads the National League in walks allowed, and then proceeds to lead it in majority of other categories outside of strikeouts. Strikeouts, he finished second with 234. Like I said, I think he earned himself about $100 million just because of the year that he put up. Blake Snell was probably in line for about maybe a five-year, $75, $80 million type deal coming into the year. Now he's right around probably I want to say about a 7-year, 175. I could see him getting about 25 a year. Like he's to me, he reminds me a lot of Carlos Rodon from last offseason. He's going to have high demand and obviously coming off a fantastic year in which he wins Cy Young and all that stuff, right? He's one of those guys that, I mean, injury risk is still there no matter how you spin it. Innings will always kind of be very high end for him in the fact that he's probably about 160 innings. This year, obviously, he went 180 innings. But realistically, you can't count on him to continuously do that throughout the duration of his contract. That being said, hey, man, that guy's one of the best left-handed starting pitchers in all of baseball. Obviously, he's won two Cy Youngs. Like I said, I think he's in line for that 7-year 175, somewhere to that extent. Obviously, I've heard reports saying over $200 million. I just can't see teams backing him up to $200-plus million.
No, he's starting to show a few of those injuries, too, and stuff like that. A little bit of wear and tear. He's still young, obviously, and stuff like that. But I like your projection around that 175, $180 million. One team to pick. Where does he land?
I mean, that's the tough thing. I'm going to say Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia loses out on Aaron Nola. Obviously, they've speculated Sonny Gray, but I can't see Sonny Gray signing there either. I think Sonny Gray will sign with a smaller market team. For whatever reason, he seems to have better success with the smaller market teams than he does with the bigger market. Obviously, small sample size. His only bigger market team is with the New York Yankees. But, I mean, let's be honest. He sucked with the Yankees. Everywhere else that he's gone, that's a smaller market team. He's done excellent. So that's why I'm saying Blake Snell, he'll be the backup choice for Aaron Nola leaving the Philadelphia Phillies.
There you have it. San Francisco Giants last year, Nolan, seemed like they were the bridesmaid on every big potential signing. Judge. Korea was a little bit interesting with the doctor and the physical and the issues and stuff like that. Anybody drop in San Francisco that's a game changer this year, or is there something that they're just not gravitating to in San Francisco?
I mean, obviously there's tons of speculation right now floating around about a lot of the bigger name guys. Cody Bellinger, I hear him rumored there. Marcus Stroman's a guy that makes a lot of sense to me to go out to San Francisco. Obviously, it's a bigger ballpark. He's a ground ball pitcher, throws a lot of sinker balls and all that stuff. And he had good success in Chicago. Obviously, he's going to cash in with a bigger contract. They compare him nicely with Logan Webb there at the top of that rotation. I could see him very easily sliding in as a number two. Obviously, they're going to go after a lot of the big-time hitters. I don't know if they'll be able to sign realistically any of the big-time hitters just because of the size of that ballpark. That's not a hitter-friendly park, man. It's tough to get those guys and try and convince them, hey, listen, to me, it's the same effect as the Colorado Rockies when they're trying to sign a starting pitcher. Like, hey, listen, we'll sign you, but understand you're going to have a 7 ERA because our park is very hitter-friendly.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think you hit the nail on the head for Bellinger, Shohei Ohtani. I know they've talked about him a little bit there. Left-handers in that park is not friendly. I mean, one guy stands out, and that was Mr. Bonds. He got the job done, but nobody since. Nobody since. For me, I think because of the Bob Melvin, Matt Chapman connection, and they already know his home runs have gone down drastically over the last 2 years. Look at the defense. Look at the solidity of it. I think maybe Chapman.
He's got a ton. He's got tons of familiarity too in the Bay Area, obviously, for with sure. Him playing in Oakland for what, 5+ years there. So that's why, hey, that one makes perfect sense to me. That would be probably the only guy that I could see going there. That's like a big time free agent.
I think they got a trade for sure. I'm with you on it. And that, I think that, that ballpark, as beautiful as it is, the landscape, everything about it. Bob Melvin as your manager, enticing, but I think it's just tough for left-handed power hitters to go there. Jock Peterson might be able to sway a little bit of things on it. I guess if he was able to talk to some people, I don't know, but tough yard. I do like your speculation on the pitching. Give Logan Webb some support around there. Alex Cobb's on the shelf a little bit early on. He just went under the surgery last week. I think, you know what, Marcus Stroman could be a good fit, like you said. Pitchers like that. And let's be honest. I mean, you know what? You put a good defensive team on the field, you can still compete. I mean, it's a tough division to compete in, but I think you can get the job done.
That would actually be my number two location for Blake Snell. In all seriousness,
yeah,
because, hey, we've seen it the past two off seasons. They backed up the truck for two guys. Obviously, Aaron Judge didn't last too long, and then Carlos Correa didn't last too long. But, I mean, at least they showed the willingness to spend that type of money to the point where, hey, listen, we're going to pay you $400-plus million. You guys come here because, hey, we know we have to overpay for the hitters. Blake Snell, man, that's a guy, okay, like I said, if he doesn't sign with Philadelphia, that's my number two because he's got familiarity on the West Coast. He has familiarity with the NL West, and I know he can shove in that park.
Yeah, it's quite interesting for sure, and that it'll be interesting. Last point for me or whatever, and I think there's already a lot of deals that have been in the works and done that haven't come to knowledge yet just because of holding out for Shohei Ohtani. I think there's a lot of teams well into contract negotiations, but it'll be interesting to see. We'll be right back here with Nolan's final thought.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Welcome back, Dirtbags. Nolan, give me your final thought.
Yeah, so our final thought this week, I mean, obviously tough news around the MLB world. Peter Seidler, owner of the San Diego Padres, has passed away at the age of 63. Not going to go into too many details about it. Obviously, his family wants to keep everything private for the time being. A lot of the bigger networks have also already talked about this in length. Tough news for the MLB world. Obviously, he was a guy that basically took the San Diego Padres from a middle-of-the-pack salary cap-wise team and said, hey, listen here, boys, we're going to compete. We're going to spend the money. We're going to try and bring in the free agents. He set the precedent there in San Diego to try and be a competitive team year in, year out. Obviously, very sad news for the MLB world.
Yeah, definitely, Nolan. Our thoughts and condolences with the Seidler family, the Padres organization. Nothing fun. A young man at 63, there's no question. It's a devastating loss. And again, our thoughts and condolences with everybody in the Seidler family and the Padres organization. So, Dirtbags, we can't thank you enough for listening. We can't thank you enough for being a part of the nation. Please continue to share it. Encourage people to listen and send in their curtain call questions, training questions, coach questions, parent questions, player questions. Contact us directly on Instagram or Facebook at Dirtbag Baseball Nation. You can get in touch with me personally, Kirk at DirtbagBaseballNation.com. Anytime and every time. That's what it's all about. We're here to help in any way, shape, or form, any capacity possible. That's what we love to do. That's what we live to do. There's no question about it. So if you're looking for merch, apparel, head on over to our website. Get you hooked up. Be sure to watch our YouTube channel on Friday, actually. I'm going to have on a young man and his dad, Hogan Nelson, out of Texas. He's going to be competing in the Power Showcase this upcoming or next week, starting on Sunday. He's a two-time champion going for a three-time champion, so I'm excited about that interview. It'll be on our YouTube channel on Dirtbag Baseball Nation, so be sure to check us out there for sure. It'll be a good interview, fun interview, great young kid. Had him on before and loved the fact that he's a part of the Dirtbag Nation himself. So wherever you are out there in the world, make sure you are having a great week, a fantastic week. We will have lots to talk about next week, I'm sure. So, unfortunately, it is that time, though, Dirtbags. It's time to get up, get after it, and get dirty. Nolan, do what you do.
Hey, thanks for listening once again, Dirtbags. Stay tuned because it's going to be a hell of a ride.